Life on purpose. That's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, and we will continue to talk about another few weeks. Life on purpose. It's interesting that there was a TV show. I think it was a TV show, or it might have just been an advertisement somewhere that I saw, where a little girl is asking her dad, why are we here? And so he started to stutter in like your mother and I. And she goes, no. She says, I know about the husband-wife stuff. What I want to know is, why are we here? Why are we in this world? And the dad had a totally blank look on his face. Like maybe he'd never even thought of it, or he certainly had no answer that would help his child to understand why are we here. We are called to live life on purpose. We've looked at two things, prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. And those two things undergird everything else that we're talking about. If we're not spending time in prayer, if we're not spending time in worship, both corporately and individually, it's going to be very difficult to live out the purposes that God has called us to. This morning we're going to be talking about serving. It is very difficult to serve other people, to serve in any way, shape, or form, if prayer and worship aren't a part of your life. Because that is where our guidance comes from. That's where our communication with our Heavenly Father comes from. That's where the understanding of what we are called to do comes from. That's where our understanding of the kind of God that we serve comes from. And if we don't understand the kind of God that we serve, if we don't understand His call on our lives, then we serve out of some other capacity or reason that while it may look good on the surface and may even have some very positive effect in other people's lives, doesn't have long-term effect and doesn't grow us because we're serving from the wrong motivation. I need to confess this morning that I struggled with putting this sermon together this week. And what I'm doing this morning really changed through last night and this morning. There aren't the notes that there usually are because I'm not really doing a four-point sermon as such or a three-point sermon as such. We're going to be looking at some passages of Scripture and simply talking about them. I've asked some different people within the congregation to read passages of Scripture because one of the things I want us to understand this morning is that when God calls us to serve, He's not calling us to do it out of compunction, not because we feel guilty, not because somehow we're going to get brownie points out of it, not because it's going to make us more acceptable to God. And so often when we talk about this area, those are the kind of places that we tend to go, either intentionally or unintentionally, when we talk about service. And so this morning, we want to understand that prayer and worship have to undergird our understanding of service. It's because of our relationship with God and who He is, what His character is like, and how that character, through the Holy Spirit, transforms our lives so that we become more like Him and serve in that way. The first passage of Scripture I would like whoever I gave Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 to. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Who did I give that to? There we go. Nice and loud. And if anybody is listening to this on tape later on, I encourage you to look up the verse before if you can't hear it on the tape. Perfect. Thank you. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. That's where our understanding of service needs to start. Now, let's flip through to the next slide. We're talking about Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 40, and this verse is These verses are the basis of last week's sermon and this week's sermon. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." That verse only makes sense when you understand that Jesus is who he is and did what he did by coming not to be served, but to serve. We live in a world that is very strongly suggesting that you build life for yourself. Build life with the most advantages in it for you. Build life with the idea that other people owe you. Build life with the idea that you should have everything that you want. Build life with the idea that it's all about you. And we've seen that in advertising for years. But now it's becoming more and more true. And so many of the things that we see right into politics, into law, that it's all about you. Everything is built around the fact that it has to be about you. And yet the Jesus we serve is not someone who came to be served, but to serve. He set the example for us. One of the things that I often encourage people to do, especially who are new believers, but I think we need to be doing it more and more often as believers who've had a walk with God for a while, is simply to take the Gospels and read them as a story and look at the life of Jesus. And so don't read two chapters. I would encourage you, take the next 4 weeks and read a Gospel a week. It's a story. Many of us read stories that are far longer than that. So in Matthew, where there's 28 verses or 28 chapters, you've got four chapters a day. It's not really long. But read the story, and then read Mark in his account. Read Luke in his account. Read John in his account. And over a month, allow the story of Jesus to penetrate your heart and your soul and see that, yes, as a matter of fact, what he said is what he did. That will help us to be men and women who serve. Next slide, please. We're going to take a look at Romans chapter 12, the first 8 verses, just a little bit this morning. And in these first couple of verses, we're going to see the build-up to the whole area of serving. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We are called to worship in everything that we are, in everything that we do. And then the next verse, next slide, please. Verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You see, we talked about this a little bit, and isn't it interesting that we talk about not conforming to the pattern of this world, and this was written almost 2,000 years ago. That's because people are still people. And as much as society changes and technology changes and living conditions change and wealth changes, as much as things change, at the basic core, we are human beings who are created in the image of God. That image is a fallen creation. And we have a God who wants to bring us back to himself, who wants us to be remade in his image, which will not be perfected until the time that we are in eternity with him. But we have to change and be transformed away from the pattern of this world to the pattern that God has for us. Go to the next slide, please. Here's a way in which this verse has been written by someone else. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you as the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's the call of God on our life, and that's what has to happen before we can serve. Now, we want to look at some passages of Scripture that helps us to understand that a little bit more. That as believers, we are all called to this. This is not a, well, that's for the pastor, or that's for the Sunday school teacher, or that's for the home group leader, or that's for the elder, or that's for Grandma Ruth, who's a prayer warrior. It's not that. It's for everybody. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Who has that one? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Please read that. That's an absolutely amazing verse. In that verse, Peter is writing to the churches that are scattered. And he says this, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Did you know this morning that because you are a son or a daughter of God, that you are part of the family and royalty like nothing this world has ever seen? You're not just part of the priesthood, you're part of the royal priesthood. Now, I confess, I don't get up in the morning thinking that. At least not very often. That concept is beyond me. But it says here, we are people for God's own possession. Now again, those are things that we wrestle with simply because we don't live in a world that understands that. You don't want to be anybody's possession. You want to be independent and do your own thing. But to be God's possession means that you have all His power, all His mercy, all His grace available to you, flowing through you, in you, so that you don't have to do these things in your own strength. It says you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Mercy from God really is helping us to understand that we are people who don't get what we deserve. From God we get so much more than what we deserve. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, that's all of us. So when it comes to the whole area of serving, we can't say, well, that's for somebody else, I don't qualify. Because if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, if you've confessed your sin and asked Him to be Lord of your life, you're part of that group. You're part of us, part of that royal priesthood. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Here Paul is reminding us that while we are all part of this body and what we are all called to serve, we're not all called to do the same thing. Not everybody is called to do everything. Aren't you glad? It's hard enough sometimes to just do the things that you know God has called you, let alone things that you know God has called someone else to do. I had a conversation with someone recently who said, you know, I would love to be up front singing. I would love to open my mouth and have this wonderful sound come out. And then he said, but it doesn't. So I sing from the congregation because nobody wants me up front. But then he said, that's okay, because God has given me other gifts in other places to serve. You see, we all have places to serve, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Because one of the things that we have to remember is that in serving, and we're going to emphasize this as well, serving is not just about doing things in the church, it's about our relationships in serving people who are outside the church to show them the grace and love of God so that they might become part of that royal priesthood that we've been talking about. And so in light of that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Who's got that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Perfect, thank you. We are God's handiwork, and God has prepared in advance good works for us to do. So that when we talk about serving, it's not like we have to wake up in the morning and go, I know I'm supposed to serve, but what is it today? I mean, I know Sunday morning I taught the Sunday school class, but that doesn't happen until next Sunday again. Oh, good, that's my service place. I don't have to do anything between now and next Sunday. No, that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about the fact that day by day, God's prepared something for us to do. One day it might be something absolutely crucial into somebody else's life where they're thinking about committing suicide and they call us and we need to walk and pray and love them through it. It may be that someone needs a ride to the grocery store and it takes us 15 minutes to give them a ride to the grocery store and back. You see, it's not that one is more important than the other, because we never know what kind of impact the little things are going to have in people's lives. And God often just gives us something simple to do in response to someone else's life. In a moment, we're going to watch a video. And in this video, there's a young man who has something special happen to him, where he gets a shift from his normal way of seeing and thinking people to a place where all of a sudden he's seeing people through God's eyes in what it means to serve. You see, again, service isn't about being an expert Sunday school teacher. Service isn't about being an expert psychologist. Service isn't about being the witness who can go down and lead 6 people to the Lord every month in door-to-door campaigns. Service is about doing what God puts in front of us to do in ways in which to serve people day by day. So let's just take a look at that video right now. Here's the tricky part of that video. We actually have a set of glasses like that. It's called the Holy Spirit. And no, it may not be as obvious as something that is written so that you can see it clearly in plain type. But if we're walking into each day, understanding that God has something for us to do, a place to serve, then sometimes it becomes almost that obvious. Now, God's never going to overwhelm us with 17 different things on one day. He knows we don't have the capacity for that. And it might not even be 17 different things in one week. It might be 1 or 2 or 3 things in one week. But He will show us those things, because every ministry that we are involved in, whether it's on a one-to-one basis or whether it's towards a group of people, whether it happens inside the church or is connected with the church somehow or totally outside the church, it's important. Every ministry that we do, every act of service that we do is important. This is Romans chapter 12, continuing on at verses 3 to verse 5. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. You see, there are differences. We are made in different ways so that we can accomplish different things. It's not something that we all have to do everything, but the fact is, God calls us all to do something. We do not all have the same function. Though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So that means working together in Christ, we can accomplish far, far more than we ever could as the same number of people working individually. That's why there is such a thing as the church. That's why God calls us to envision things that are beyond what we can ask or think and be ready for that. The song that we sung this morning, it's a song that I've never heard or sung before, but the words in it were amazing. A call to ask God to do something far beyond what we can imagine. Something so big that if He's not in it, it's going to fail. And that's where the crux of the situation often comes for us as a church. We sit and we analyze things based on the resources and the strengths that we think we have. On February 28th, on that Tuesday night, I'm going to be getting as many as possible from the elders board and the transition team together, and the person who has put together the survey that we had is going to give us an hour and a half debrief on it. And out of that, we want to look at what is it that as a church, we're doing well, we're not doing so well, who is being served and who's not being served, how do we move forward? And we don't want to see that out of human eyes, out of the eyes and the minds that we simply have in this room, but we want God eyes, Spirit eyes, and Spirit hearts on this. And my hope and my prayer is that as we come through this in the discussions that we have as a congregation, that we're going to come up with ideas that somebody's going to say, that's impossible. Because if we have figured out exactly how we can do everything that we decide we want to do, then where's God? Where's God? That can be a very scary place to be. But it means it's so important for each one of us to serve in the place that God calls us to serve. I mean, can you imagine for a moment, one of the things I do is I referee basketball. And I was reffing on Friday night, and I have problems with my right foot. And about halfway through the first quarter in the second game that I was doing, I stepped and turned wrong, and a very, very sharp pain went through my foot. And so I refereed the next three quarters. Let's just say it wasn't a whole lot of fun running up and down the floor. And it probably affected my ability to ref as well as I could have, because I couldn't always get to the places that I needed to get to see the things that I needed to see, to make the calls that I needed to make. Why? It wasn't because there was something wrong with my eyes. It wasn't because there was something wrong with my knowledge of the basketball rules. It wasn't because I couldn't blow my whistle and put my hand up. It was because my foot was hurting and I couldn't get to where I needed to get to. The same thing happens in the church. Sometimes it's not because we don't have this piece and this piece and this piece, but in order for those pieces to get there, we need this piece to be working well. And if it's not, if that piece of the serving is not there, then things don't happen the way that they should happen. Because each ministry, each service is not only important, but it's dependent on other people. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Whoever has that, could you read that? Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Did I not hand that one out? Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Sure, go ahead. Okay, guess that's already up on the screen. That's probably why I didn't hand it to someone, but thank you, Mary Ellen. Appreciate that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 22 to 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 22 to 26.
while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together with greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should be equal, having some concern with each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it.
Okay, thank you. See, all the parts need to work together. I was at an evangelism seminar a few years ago, and the person who was presenting, they had done some research, and they came up with a statistic that I found very interesting. For most people who are outside of the church, who do not have any relationship with God, in order for them to come to the place where they are even willing to hear and accept the message of Jesus Christ, they have to have contact with 6.5 believers. Now, I'm not sure what that half a believer looks like, but that's the average people. There are very few people who will have contact with one believer and see and hear the message. Because this person is a person of faith, and they're all of a sudden, they're seeing this person talk about the stuff that God is doing, and they're like, wow, but that's him, that's not me. And then there's another person who has a gift of hospitality, who simply invites them in and makes them part of their life. There's another person who has a gift of helps, and they have a need of something fixed in their yard or fixed in their basement, or being driven to a doctor's appointment, and that person does that. And all of a sudden, they have these different contacts with different believers who are living and serving God in different ways, and all of a sudden, all these pieces come together, and they're going, oh, wait a minute. That's who this Jesus is that they're talking about. He cares about this, and he cares about this, and he cares about this, and he does this, and he does this, and he does this. So one of my encouragement is for those of you who have unbelieving friends, and if you don't, I'm hoping you're working hard on building some relationships with people who are not people of faith. Include them in stuff that you do with other believers. If you have a couple of neighbors who are not believers, invite them over for a barbecue and invite two of your friends to a couple of people from the church and just have a social evening where those who are not of faith can see people who are of faith and just see and hear how they live. You see, it's important. Every member is important, but we are dependent on each other. What if those who were gifted in evangelism started flooding this church with new Christians and there was nobody to walk them through any kind of a discipleship process or any kind of a growth process? If there was nobody to listen to some of the concerns that they had in their life to give them spiritual counsel, either we would lose those people or they would simply not grow in Christ and they would remain baby Christians because there was nobody there to help them walk through the process. You see, we need that ministry to one another, both inside and outside the church. I've been in situations where someone has built a relationship with someone who's outside the church, and all of a sudden they run into a situation in that person's life that they know that person needs help, but they can't help them. They don't have the resources or the skills or the ability to help them. What an amazing thing it is to be able to say, you know what? I can't help you with that, but I have a friend. And then to be able to go to the pastor or to someone else in the church who knows who can help with what areas, and then to bring someone else in from the body to bring help to that person, to that individual. That's why we need each other so greatly. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Let's go to the next slide, verses. Same thing, different author, Same truth. Paul continuing on. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Both Peter and Paul understood that there were different things going on, that God was going to gift us all differently. He was going to call us all differently, but that it was going to have to work together in order for the church to grow and to be healthy, for the kingdom to grow and to be healthy, for those men and women, young people, boys and girls who are outside of the kingdom to have an opportunity to enter the kingdom. Sometimes I look at the people who are part of the church, including myself, and I'm saying, God, surely you could have come up with a better way to reach people than to use people. There's got to be a better way. Because we mess things up so often. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you've gone home and in your devotional time, all of a sudden, that conversation comes back to your mind and it's flooded with woulda, coulda, shouldas? Oh, God, I messed that up. God, I'm so sorry. I was thinking about me instead of thinking about the other person. I was thinking of self instead of thinking of serving. I was thinking about what I could get out of this instead of what you wanted to put into this. Okay, Lord, now what? Is there a way to correct that? Is there a way to go back and fix that? Is there a way to go back and share with that person? You see, one of the things is that even in the opportunities that we look at first as opportunities that we might have wasted, we have a God who is able to use even those to show himself to people, to build people through us. God knows that each one of us is unique. There are many different things that need to be done, both in the church and outside of the church. And the wonder is that we actually get the privilege of being a part of it. We get the privilege of being a part of it. I know many of you here are sports fans. I enjoy sports. It's much more fun to cheer for the Oilers this year than it has been for the last 10 years. When I started in ministry, I was in Warburg, and that's when they were winning all their Stanley Cups. And it was fun being an Oilers fan. And so I loved the team. I cheered for the team. I watched the games. I saw one game live back when you could sort of afford it, which has kind of gone by the wayside for most of us. But I loved it. But you know what? Nobody ever asked me to come and play for the Oilers. Now, it may have had something to do with the fact that I can't really skate very well, that I'd never played hockey beyond 7 years of age. There were a lot of but I love the Oilers. Why couldn't I be part of the team? No, I was out on the fringes with the other fans who would get whatever, but never really be a part of it. I think one of the greatest disservices that we've done in the church is to somehow make people feel like this is all about the professionals. This is all about the people with the obvious gifts and skills. This is all about those who are clearly leaders, and that everybody else is just a cheering section. It couldn't be more wrong. Couldn't be more wrong. This book so very, very, very clearly calls us all to places of service in Him, and to have a privilege to serve. And that's why it needs to be undergirded by prayer and worship, so that we understand who this God is, what His character is like, what His expectations of us are, and then to be able to serve with encouragement and strength and grace and mercy. And when we run up against a situation where we have no clue what to do next, we feel totally inadequate, we can say, yeah, but you know what? I'm part of a body where all those skills are there. This person is an absolute financial mess. But I have a friend named Terry. She knows how to help someone in that place. This person is dealing with a difficult medical diagnosis, but I know some men and women who have gone through difficult things, and they can talk to them in a way that I can't talk to them because I've never experienced that. I don't know, but I know somebody who does. I see that this family has a need, and they would love to be part of a church, but they don't have the wherewithal to get to church on Sunday morning. I can drive them, and then the Sundays I can't. I know some friends. I have some fellow members of the body who can do it when I can't do it. You see, all of those things are part of what God is calling us to do, how we are to serve. Sometimes it's going to be upfront gifts. Sometimes it's going to be in the background gifts. Sometimes it's going to be very obvious gift. Sometimes it's going to be a surprise. Even in my situation, I've had people who've come into my office to talk about a problem, and my initial reaction is, And so I pray very fast. And I see where the Spirit takes me. Sometimes He will give me words and direction for that person where afterwards I will sit and literally go, where in the world did that come from? Because I wasn't prepared for that morning. And at other times, it's a situation where I go, you know what? I empathize with your struggle. But I also know that even though I can't give you the help you need, I know where I can go to get resources. I know where I can go to get help and help you in that, because I am a part of the body of Jesus Christ. Not just Muir Lake Alliance Church. That's a good place to start, but a part of the body of Jesus Christ. See, that's what it means to serve. Pray, worship. Build that relationship with God. Understand His heart and compassion. Read the story of Jesus and simply how He lived and how His call was to follow Him. You see, Jesus never, when Jesus called people, He never called them to pray a prayer. Although it's a good place to start in a relationship with Jesus. His call time after time after time after time was follow me. Do what I do. Teach what I teach. And we can do that. We can all do that in different ways, with different giftings, and as part of the body, in recognizing that even though our part may be a behind-the-scenes part, it's absolutely crucial, because the upfront part does not work very well if the behind-the-scenes part is not working well. That's why God has created the church the way He has created and built it. So my question for you this morning, very simply, is, next slide, please. Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to serve? See, it's a question that we very, very rarely get asked in our society. Normally the question we ask is, is everything okay? Are you getting what you need? The question that God asks is, are you willing to serve? If you're willing to serve, God will give you everything you need. Not everything you want. at least from a human standpoint, but certainly everything you need if you're simply willing to serve. Pray, worship, and then focus on Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which reminds us that today God has something set up for me to do. It may be directly, it may be prayer, it may be background stuff, it may be upfront stuff, but God's got something for me to do. God, today I'm willing to serve. Open my heart, open my spiritual eyes. Give me the service glasses so that as I see people, I can respond to them the way you would respond and show your love. Let's pray together. Father, this morning I pray that you would help us to get what it means to serve. Lord, you teach us so clearly in your word that you have given us a place as members of a body, and that a body only functions well when all the parts are functioning well. And any time one piece of the body is not doing well, it affects everything else. It affects the rest of the body. Lord, I am so grateful that you have given me the privilege to be part of your body. And even in the times when I don't understand why you would use people like me or like anyone else, you assure us that through the power of your Spirit, you are reaching out to the world through us. Lord, what a wonder it is to be a part of that. What a privilege it is to be a part of that. And when we see lives changed because of the intervention of your Spirit, because we've been faithful, oh, Father, what a joy. What a joy. Lord, I pray that you would help us to resist the temptation of the enemy that whispers into our ears that we don't have time, that we're not smart enough, that we're not spiritually mature enough, that we're the wrong age. Lord, all those excuses that come to our minds, Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize the voice of